In early centuries of Christianity, through authorities like St. Cyril of Alexandria, St. Augustine of Hippo, and St. Gregory the Great, they identified as many as seven aspects or lenses through which we read Scripture: literal, historical, allegorical, moral, symbolic, eschatological, and archetypal. And no, I'm not going to give you a test on these. So as we look at this beautiful story of Jesus being transfigured on the mountain, I reflect back 2 years ago when I was on pilgrimage in the Holy Land. And during that time, I mainly connected to the Scriptures through literal and historical lenses. And one of my favorite places was where this supposedly took place, on Mount Tabor, not far from Nazareth. There's a beautiful Church of the Transfiguration on top of the mountain, and when we entered 2 years ago, I noticed that it was glorious in the sense that beautifully built architecturally, and as we entered in, there was an awesome gold mosaic depicting the transfiguration of Jesus with Moses and Elijah there and the disciples lying prostrate. And it just so happened that as our pilgrimage group entered in, there were pilgrims from Ukraine celebrating their liturgy at the main altar, and they were chanting in their way of worship, and it just felt like the heavenly realm was opening up. We celebrated our Mass in one of the side chapels, one named for Elijah, and it was a tiny space for our group to celebrate Mass. But it made for an intimate encounter as we received the transfigured body of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. As the Church itself was a symbolic representation of the transfigure event, so we can look at the Scripture itself by moving from the literal and historical to a symbolic level of understanding. The two important Old Testament figures, Moses and Elijah, represent archetypally the law and the prophets, which are the two main parts of the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament. The law is usually associated with the conservative keeping of the tradition. The prophets are usually calling for change and considered in our language today liberal, progressive thinkers and people who call people to change. Jesus stands between both of them. Symbolically, he indicates that he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And we might say symbolically that Jesus says, both of these are part of my picture, conservative and liberal. I hold both of them together, and in my being resolve the conflict that naturally comes about with liberals and conservatives. So at the end of the event, these Old Testament figures disappear, and Jesus is alone with his three companions. One question arises: why only three? Where are the rest of the 12? Maybe these three were the only ones who were ready, in Jesus' estimation, for this type of experience. In the midst of prayer, Jesus is visibly changed, and his clothes become dazzlingly white. It is an awesome moment of a religious experience, and the disciples want to permanently stay there. And Peter says, let us erect three tents so that we can experience this for a long time. And who can blame him? If we've ever had such awesome experiences, we desire that they keep going on. So a deeper level of symbolism is that this transfiguration is that the divinity of Jesus is revealed through the dazzling light. He reveals to them in this very transfigured person that it is possible. He reveals that he is not just a man that they know and communicate with, but man God. We must put these two together. We do not know how to put man and God totally together, even though we profess it in our creed, but Jesus reveals to them through this mystical experience that it is possible. If we do not know that it is possible, we cannot imagine putting it together in ourselves. And that's really the task of Christians, to understand that we are both children of this earth and children of heaven. As Jesus reveals this to them, a cloud came over them. And when that happened, they became frightened. The spiritual things cannot become totally understood. There's always an aspect of mystery, of unknowing. There's always some light, but also some darkness, some shadowing, some unknowing. You get it, you understand it at some level, but then you don't get it all. And humble Christians know that we don't know it all. People who really know that they do not know. Think about that. Who of us can understand the face of God, the total mystery of love? In the presence of this mystery that is too big for them, they become frightened. And Jesus calms them by saying, "Be not afraid." And the voice from above says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." What is seen and experienced in Jesus, divine and human, is also to be put together in us. Let us continue to listen to him, follow him, and grow in our personal relationship with our Lord so that we continue to know how to do it. Jesus exhorted them not to tell anybody about this until after his resurrection. And on a symbolic level, I could say that if you have not had a profound moment of personal transfiguration, you won't quite understand this exhortation not to tell, because words fall short in describing God's revealing himself to us. You need a sacred silence to just soak it in and know that the experience is real at the deepest level of our beings. We have to treasure it in our hearts, as Mary did when she had the experience of the archangel Gabriel appearing to her. We ask ourselves, what does this mean? What was God trying to speak to my heart? So a silence, a reticence to share immediately is required. But then they did eventually speak about their mountaintop experience, because it is recorded for us in sacred scripture. I'm always moved when people share their faith experiences. We did it just a couple of nights ago in our book discussion of Rediscover the Saints. It amazes me how God works in amazing ways, different ways for different people, and never gives up on us, even if we have become lukewarm or fallen away. Even if we have fallen into sin or doubted or rejected God, Jesus loves us so much that he will never reject us. He came that we might have a rich life and live it fully to experience the glory of God in glimpses that we get sometimes on this earth, to prepare us for the glory of the life to come.